We're discussing this week Machzik Yedei Aver Avera, the idea of Lifnei Iver, Miseyeya, or related Isurim on helping someone, supporting someone, encouraging someone who's doing an Avera, what exactly the Isur is in various cases, and specifically with regard to copyright, intellectual property infringement, the idea that if someone pirates something, if someone does something wrong against the laws of intellectual property, even if you yourself are not doing that, but if you cooperate with him, maybe that's an isser of Machzik Yedei Aver Avera. We discussed a couple of days ago some of the basic ideas of Lifnei Iver, Miseyeya. I want to continue that a little bit, discuss some of these Rambams, and discuss further how these halachas might pertain to intellectual property. So, in order to do that, I want to consider first the longest Maor Machlokes this week was Rav Zalman Nechemya Goldberg's classic essay on intellectual property. Rav Zalman Nechemya is considered one of the leading Chashon Mishpat experts in our generation. Full disclosure, I hold the smicha from him, but he is well known as being one of the greatest living experts on Chashon Mishpat Eben Ezer, which is partly why I gave such a long excerpt. This was a very classic essay he wrote, it's about 10, 12 pages, the whole thing, and Truman, you can find it online now, about copying tapes. And Kadarko, he has an innovative and interesting perspective to the whole issue. In order to understand the background for some of the passages you're reading this week, I want to discuss his approach to intellectual property, part of his approach. In previous weeks, we've seen a number of different ideas. We've seen Yari Lomnus, we've seen the idea that in principle you can own intellectual property in Malchusa. Zalman Nechemya has another approach. He's one of the few, he's known as the originator of this idea. That is the idea of shir, shin yud vav reish, meaning to residual, to retain something. Zalman Nechemya basically argues that, again, this makes less sense in the age of digital distribution. He was talking about an early primitive time where people still bought and sold things on plastic, on CDs, on cassettes. Rav Zalman Nechemya argues that it's possible when you buy a record or a computer game or a cassette or any kind of medium that contains information on it, the seller can retain some ownership in the physical medium itself, not the intellectual property, the abstraction. He actually owns something in the physical medium he sold you, and his ownership in that, his retaining residual ownership in that, is what gives him the right to tell you what you can and can't do with the disc or the book, the cassette that you just bought.
Is that by any sale or just specifically by this type of sale?
So, Rav Zalman Nechemya's Makar is from a Gemara in Bava Metzia. I remember years ago, my sister told me that the relative gave her a present, wanted to buy her a camera, but she didn't know much about cameras, her aunt, and she didn't know what my sister wanted, so she said, Here's $100, go buy yourself a camera. So my sister told me that, she doesn't spend a lot of money, she doesn't indulge in luxuries much, so she just wound up using the money to pay her grocery bill or whatever it was. So many of us have had similar questions probably to this in the past. The question is this mutter? Are you allowed, if someone gives you money or any property with specific instructions for what he or she wants you to do with it, are you bound to respect those instructions? Obviously, you can decline the gift, but the point is, are you allowed to accept the gift and then go ahead and do with it whatever you want, even in violation of the seller's expressed will, expressed instructions? So this is a Gemara in Bava Metzia. The Gemara originally is talking about the laws of rentals, not gifts or sale. The Gemara is talking about a person who rented his donkey, his animal, to somebody else and gave instructions, take it on this road, not that road, take it on the hill, not the valley, and et cetera, et cetera. And the renter, the person who rented it, deviated. The question is he chayev or potter? So the Gemara introduces the notion of kol hamashana midas balabayas gazlan. If somebody deviates from the instructions of the owner, he becomes a gazlan. We don't paskin like that. That's Rameir shita, that's not lahalacha. But the Gemara has this shita of Rameir, that if you deviate on rental property from what you've been told to do, you become a gazlan and you have all the consequences of gzela. So the Gemara tries to find a makar for this idea. Where do we find this idea that kol hamashana midas balabayas gazlan? The Gemara has various successive tries. Finally, the Gemara talks about a case of someone gave a dinar to an ani, gave a certain coin to an ani, and he said, buy a chaluk, shirt, or some kind of robe, Lo yikach batalis, you shouldn't buy a talis instead, and vice versa. Talis, if you said buy a talis. Lo yikach b'chalak, you should not buy b'chalak. Why? Gemara goes back and forth. That's the maskara of the Gemara, that the author of this Mishnah, this is Rameir, this is Rameir Shita, kol mishanah midash balabayis gazel. Now, as I said, we don't paskin like Rameir. We paskin like the Chachamim, that there is no din kol mishanah midash balabayis gazlan. Just because you broke the rules doesn't make you a gazlan. But Rav Zalman Lechemia seems to understand, just like when it comes to schiras, nobody argues that the owner of the car, of the animal, has the right to tell you do this and don't do that. He has the right to give you the rental on any terms that he wants. Rav Zalman Lechemia assumes nobody argues either on the din that if I give you a dinar to buy a talis, I can tell you it's for a talis and not a chalak, or vice versa. The Chacham say you don't become a gazlan if you violate it. You violated instructions, maybe that's the wrong thing to do. You don't become a gazlan, you don't have, so with regard to schiras, you don't have the various consequences of, you don't have the various consequences of becoming a gazlan, that you chayav ba'onsim, etc. But Rav Zalman Lechemia says, you see from this Gemara, and not just in the question of schiras, but that even in the question of giving a gift or selling something, same thing, the seller or the donor of the gift has the right to issue binding instructions that you can't do this. How does that work? It works via the mechanism of shear. I retain some right in the object that I gave or sold. Now, shear itself is a well-established Talmudic notion. The Gemara in Bava Basra, the Gemara is full of ideas. I can sell property and retain, let's say, an easement. I can retain a right of way. I can say, I'm selling you my house, but I want to take a shortcut to cross the yard every day to a shul. Or I'm selling you this room, this property, but I want to leave my car parked there. So you can do that. There's no question. You can definitely retain. You can retain or you can give. I can give you that kind of right in my property. I can say it's my property. I'm willing to sell you a right of way that you can walk by there every day to take a shortcut. And a shear is the reverse. I'm selling you the whole property and retaining that right. That's pasha. That's many gemaras that can do that. You can split property like that. I own most of the property. You own the right of way. The chiddush here is that it's a negative. The owner is not retaining any useful right in the piece of plastic he sold you, in the book he sold you. What he's retaining, or in the case of the Gemara, he gave the Ani the dinar, it's his dinar. The only thing he's retaining is the right to tell the Ani, I'm keeping enough ownership here that I still have the right to look over your shoulder and say, do this and don't do that. You can only do this with the object. I can restrict how you use the object. Even that, Rav Zalman Lechemia says, you see from this Gemara, that's a right that can be retained by the donor or by the seller. Now, again, even though the Chum disagree with Rameir, Rav Zalman Lechemia seems to understand that the whole difference is, Rameir says you become a gazlan if you don't follow those rules, the Chum says you don't become a gazlan, either because we don't interpret what you said as meaning that you actually insist on it to the point of gzela, it's just your request and nothing more, or even if we assume it's a bona fide hakpada, it doesn't translate into an automatic shear unless you explicitly phrase it as a shear. If you just say, don't do this, fine, don't do that. That's your request, but I am going to do it. But if you say, I'm a shayer it, I retain this for myself, I retain an ownership in the property to the extent that I can block you from doing certain things with it, he assumes that everyone agrees, even halakha l'maisa, you can definitely do that. And that's therefore of Zalman Lechemia's position, which is widely debated by other contemporary poskim, that if a seller of a book or a CD wants to tell the buyer not to copy it, what he should do is he shouldn't simply write do not copy. He should write, I, the seller, retain ownership in this CD to the extent that I can instruct you that I can prevent you from copying. And very contemporary poskim debate whether what language you should use, how to do it. That's Rav Zalman Lechemia's approach. It follows, therefore, that copying the first object, the one you actually bought from the store, is gzeila. Certainly, l'chatchila, you're not allowed to do it because he retained ownership in that disc that you bought from the store. It's still his, not the intellectual property, the abstraction. The physical disc, the physical book is still his to the extent that he can tell you, don't use it in such and such a way, don't use it to copy it. However, once the copy is made, that second disc, that's my plastic, that's my, the physical object is mine, intellectual property is an abstraction. The second disc, there would be, he no longer has any ownership in the second disc. Once I made one copy, I can make a million more without being over any more gzela. And that's where our discussion comes in about Machzik Yedei Avreir.
Two questions. One is,
when you say you can make a million more, that's assuming you're making it from the second disc.
Yeah, yes, yes, absolutely right. The first one still belongs to the owner, right?
And usually the Lashon that I've seen in like American things is all rights reserved. Is that, would that be sufficient? Or he has to actually say, I'm retaining ownership?
So Rav Zalman Chaim debates that. He basically tries to understand what's the dispute between Rav Meir and the Chachamim. I think it's on the end of the material I copied here.
Copied, right. But actually, I'm not sure I have it on the page.
They've been translated. Again, but Hebrew calls
right. He debates whether you have to phrase it explicitly as retaining actual ownership, or whether it's enough to say all rights reserved. Might be debatable. Some of the contemporary svarim spend a lot of time explaining to you exactly what the best language to use is to be able to say different shittas. Unfortunately, I didn't do the full research on that point. So it is debated by contemporary poskim, but I'm not familiar enough with the issue to.
Modern languages is called licensing, right? Instead of selling it to you.
Right. The licensing is a kind of extreme example of this, where I'm not really selling it to you at all, but it's mamash like schiras, like the case of the cow. It's my cow, I'm letting you use it. Then use it in this way and don't use it in that way. So that's what you're trying to do when you license. You're saying that I'm keeping it, I'm not giving it to you at all, and I'm basically making it into a schiras. I'm allowing you to use it indefinitely, permanently, but I'm allowing you to use it, but only, right, only under these terms.
The same applies for Matana. That person, if he
does. Yeah, that's the case of the Gemara. The case of the Gemara is I gave money to an Ani, I gave him a Tana, tzedakah to an Ani, and I told him, I'm giving you the money, but I have instructions, it comes with conditions, I want you to use it like this and not like that.
Stuff is not really a Matana.
True, but for these purposes.
Stuff is a mitzvah.
True.
But you're saying it applies to Matana as well.
For fair purposes, for these kinds of Choshen Mishpat questions of giving and receiving and making conditions, for fair purposes, I think the Gemara itself compares tzedakah to Schirus. For our purposes, the fact that it's a duck, I don't think is material. So therefore, because Rav Zalman Nechemya feels that only manipulating the first disc is a problem of Gzela, because that's what he actually owns, the tangible object, not the abstract idea, and the second disc is something which is completely mine. So if I want to buy that second disc or buy a copy of the second disc, that ought to be fine. Except for other issues, you know, of course, there are other issues. We discussed Yared Lomnus, we discussed Nana, but you know, putting aside those, that's why we have the question of Machzik Yedeo of Rav Eir. Because by cooperating with a pirate, that's the question of maybe that should be a problem.
This becomes actually very, very difficult. But let's say if I say I'm going to give my son the car and be home at 10 o'clock. He's home at 10:30. That's more than, you're saying that's more than just a violation of an instruction. In other words, has he gone into the territory of misappropriating, misusing?
Yeah, I think that's the
chiddush. So he becomes a gazlan for that?
So again, you don't become mamash a gazlan because we don't pass him like Rameir. So he wouldn't be chayav ba'onsim. He'd be a shawl anyway in that case. But he's misusing property. He's using property shalok adin. Just like a renter, if I tell you don't drive the car more than 60 miles an hour and you drive it 80 miles an hour, so you're doing something wrong, you may not become a gazlan, but you're utilizing property without permission, or in a way that you don't have permission to use. So similarly, if I tell you to bring it back, yes, that you can have the car, but use it in this way. But if you use it another way, you're utilizing property without permission.
And what does that make you?
That's a good question. Exactly what category you go into, you're not allowed to do it. That's for our purposes, we'll stop there. Exactly. My father always asked me, when you trespass, what are you doing wrong exactly? It's a good question. But the point is, from a Choshen Mishpat perspective, I definitely have the right to block you. And you definitely are not allowed to do it exactly, whether you're over low sigzel or you're not over low sigzel is a good question, but let me just proceed now just with the remainder of this. We can discuss that further later, maybe. So the bottom line, our sugya depends on two Rambams. The Rambam, both of them are in Perakei, one in Hilchas Gneiva, one in Hilchas Gzela. The Rambam talks about how it's very bad to buy things from a Gana, Oven Gadolhu, Machzik or Machazik, Ide Over Avera. So the problem is he uses a different formulation in Gneiva and in Gzela. There are two or three or four differences between his two formulations, and there isn't really a good answer for what is the significance of these changes and why. In Gneiva, he says, Garim lo lignav Gneiva Zacheros, you cause him to commit further thefts, because if he's no one to sell it to, then he's not going to steal. And he brings a pasuk in Mishlei, Cholikim Ganav Sonei Nafsho. One who divides the spoils with a Ganav, he hates his soul, meaning it's spiritually self-destructive behavior. The continuation of the pasuk is, Ola Yishma V'lo Yagid, he hears an oath and he doesn't tell. The way the Mefarshim will explain, the pasuk means that based in forces people, anyone who knows information about the Gneva, to tell, and they make a shvua on anyone. Anyone who doesn't do it is going to be violating a shvua. And you're not going to tell because you're embarrassed or because you want to hold on to the gzela that you were chalak in Maganav. So Mela, it's going to lead to bad consequences. It's going to lead to further averas. You're not just covering up the Gneva. One thing will lead to the other, and you'll be over a serious aver. In gzela, the Rambam says something about a shinui. He says, Asu l'sadu al shinui. You're not allowed to help him make a shinui, because shinui is kona. That'll take us too far afield. We're running out of time here. And then he says, kalos advarim elu. He mentions nothing about further gnevas. He says again, l'chazik is over avera, and also you're over l'fneiver. So in gneva, he didn't say l'fneiver. He brought up pasuk in Mishle. In gzela, he brings up l'fneiver. In gneva, he mentions further gnevas. In gzela, he doesn't say anything about further gzela. He just says, Asu l'sadu al shinuyo. So why are these things different? Why does he talk about a shinui and not mention further gnevas and say lefneiver in gzela? And in gneva doesn't say anything about a shinui, mentions further gnevas and brings the pasuk in Mishle instead of lefneiver. Halo davaru. Three significant differences, and at the end of the day, we don't really know. The key question here is it really shayak, what we started to discuss on Monday, do you really have lefneiver? Lefneiver in the Gemara, the classical lefneiver is always you're helping somebody commit an avera right now. Can you really be over lefneiver for future gnevas? So one of the Achronim points out, Rabbi Yosef Kadosh Bransdorf, or Meir Bransdorfer's son, the Chinuch really also uses language like that. The Chinuch says, Zehalav, the lav lefneiver is kolol kimokin mishiyazer over aver. Anyone who helps someone do an avera is over lefneiver. He doesn't say what he means by help, but he says, Shumevi oso, she is pata bezula zeh lav rapa macherim od. If you help him do the Avera, you make it convenient for him, you'll cause him to do Averas in general. So I don't know what kind of help he's doing. If you're helping him do an Avera right now, then you're over Lufneiva right now. He brings an example of Ribbis, where Malv and the Lover are over Lufneiva. Again, that's an Avera right now. So I'm not sure what his point is, but he does seem to be saying that even future Averas is Lufneiva. But the Rambam is talking very funny. The Rambam is mashma that Lufneiva, when he says Lufneiva, he doesn't say anything about future Gnevas. He's mashma that right now I'm helping you become a Vayashinu. The first Rambam in Gneva, when he says that there are future Gnevas, doesn't say anything about Lefneiver. So the Rambam, Rav Zalman Lechemi, seems to learn this way. Rambam seems to learn Lefneiver is only on Gneva, only on the current Gneva, not on future. Future is too far in the future. It's too tentative, too indirect to be called Lefneiver. So it doesn't answer the question exactly why then does the Rambam bring one problem in Gneva, one in Gzela. Rav Zalman Lechemi has an explanation for that too. If you read the copies, You'll understand. He explains why he thinks it might have to do with Gneva and Gzela. But in any event, these are the two Rambams, and the key question is why there are these differences and how this applies to someone who takes a pirated disc from someone who illegally pirated the first copy.